melted into bitterness at once.
"No harm done," she said.
"Very sorry, Margaret."
And he did feel sorry. Perhaps he had lost his chance. Perhaps now she would turn him out into the street, or ring for her husband, or summon the sergeant, and he would be captured, and Carver would walk free. She stepped forward and eased the revolver from his hand. She held it only a moment before setting it to the side, carefully upon the whatnot, making sure the muzzle was turned away. Then she hovered a moment, not looking at him. She breathed several times, deeply. He waited.
"You'll stay here till after dark," she said at last, and quietly.
Still she did not look at him.
"You'll stay under the bed until it's dark, and it's safe to leave."
"Margaret," said Arsuk.
"What?"
she whispered, shrinking away, darting a quick look at the lamp fixture, then at the headboard of the bed.
"What?"
"Thank you,"
said Arsuk. She peered at him, and then quickly dropped her gaze to his chest and stomach.
"You stand out a mile in that tunic," she mumbled. "You're a Chinaman through and through. Wait here."
In 10 minutes she was back with a jacket and trousers over her arm, and a soft-crowned hat in her hand.
"Try these on," she said. "I'll sew the trousers up for size, and you can borrow a jacket from the jailhouse. You'll leave this place looking like an Englishman, Mr. Sook, or you won't leave it at all."
Ah, Potiki Arahua, the children of Antares, in which Mr. Staines takes his medicine and Miss Wetherill takes a fall. Gerau Taufare reached Pritchard's drug hall by 3:30. By the stroke of 4, he and Pritchard were sitting in a rented trap, driving a pair of horses northward as fast as the trap would allow. Pritchard was half-standing, bareheaded, reckless, whipping the horses into a froth. There was a bulge in his jacket pocket. A glass jar of laudanum sloshing thickly, so that the rusty liquid left an oily wash of colour on the inside of the glass that thinned and then thickened each time the wheels of the trap went over a stone. Taufare was gripping the seat back with both hands, doing his best not to be sick. "And it was me," he said, "he wanted," Pritchard said to himself, exhilarated. "Not the doctor, me." Charlie Frost, queried by the lawyer Fellows, told the truth. Yes, the fortune found on Crosby Wells' estate had been found already retorted. The smelting was the work of the Chinese goldsmith, Kui Long, who until that morning had been the sole digger employed to work Mr. Staines' gold mine, the Aurora. Mr. Fellows wrote this down in his pocketbook and thanked the young banker very courteously for his help. Then he produced the charred deed of gift that Anna Wetherill had given him and handed it wordlessly across the desk. Frost, glancing at it, was astonished.
"It's been signed," he said.
"Come again," said Fellows.
"Emery Staines has signed this document some time in the past 2 months," said Frost firmly. "Unless that signature is a fake, of course. But I know the man's hand. That's his mark. The last time I saw this piece of paper, there was a space next to this man's name. No signature."
"Then he's alive," said the lawyer. Benjamin Löwenthal, turning into Collingwood Street, was surprised to find that Pritchard's drug hall was shut and locked, with a card in the window saying the establishment was closed. He walked around to the rear of the building, where he found Pritchard's assistant, a boy named Giles, reading a paper on the back stoop.
"Where's Mr. Pritchard?" he said.
"Out," said the boy.
"What is it that you're wanting?"
"Liver pills."
"Repeat prescription?"
"Yes."
"I can sort you. Come on in the back way."
The boy put aside his paper, and Löwenthal followed him inside, through Pritchard's laboratory, into the shop.
"It's not like Joe to leave his office on a Monday afternoon," Löwenthal said, while the boy set about making up his order.
"He went off with a native fellow."
"Taufare?"
"Don't know his name," the boy said. "He came by all in a bother, not 2 hours ago. Gave his message to Mr. Pritchard, and then Mr. Pritchard packed me off to rent a trap for the both of them. And then they tore off to the Arahura like a pair of night riders."
"Indeed." Löwenthal was curious. "You didn't find out why?"
"No,"
the boy said.
but Mr. Pritchard took along a whole jar of laudanum and a pocket full of powder besides. The native man said he needs medicine. I heard him say it, but he didn't say whom. And Mr. Pritchard kept saying something I didn't understand at all.
What was that? Said Löwenthal.
The horse bullet, said the boy.
Why, Anna Wetherill!
Finch's tone was less astonishment than shock.
Hello, Edgar. But what are you doing here? Of course, you are most welcome. But what are you doing?
He came out from behind the desk.
I need a place to be, she said, until 5 o'clock. May I trespass upon your hospitality for a few hours?
Trespass? There's no trespassing,
Clinch cried, coming forward to take her hands in his.
Why, yes, of course, of course. You must come into my office. Shall we take tea with biscuits? How good it is to see you. How very lovely. Where is your mistress?
And where are you going at 5 o'clock?
I've an appointment at the courthouse, said Anna Wetherill, politely disengaging her hands and stepping back from him. Clinch's smile vanished at once.
Have you been summoned? He said anxiously. Are you to be tried?
It's nothing like that. I've engaged a solicitor, that's all. Of my own volition.
A solicitor?
Yes, Anna said. I'm going to contest the widow's claim.
Clinch was astonished. Well, he said, smiling again to cover his bewilderment.
Well, you must tell me all about it, Anna, and we must take tea together. I'm so very happy you've come.
I'm glad to hear that, said Anna. I feared you might resent me.
I could never resent you, Clinch cried. I could never. But why?
In the next moment he understood.
You're going to contest the widow's claim on that fortune.
She nodded.
There's a document that names me as an inheritor.
Is there? Said Clinch, wincing. Signed and everything?
Found in his stove. In Crosby Wells' stove. Someone tried to burn it.
But is it signed?
£2,000, said Anna.
Oh, you have always been such a father to me, Edgar. I don't mind telling you.
He meant it as a present. £2,000 as a present all at once. He loves me. He's loved me all along.
Who? Said Edgar Clinch, sourly. But he already knew. As Löwenthal